The title of the message today is No Matter Who We Are. And I'm taking that from Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through the beginning of verse 25. And here's what it says. Do you guys want the air conditioner on? No, I see windows opening, fans going on. I can put the air on, guys. Okay, the old people in the front want the windows and the fan. All right, it's pretty hot up here, and I'm an old man too. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 25a. We are made right with God. We are made right with God, not by how hard we work, not by how good we try to be, not by how much we go to church, not how religious we are, right? We are made right with God by this way only, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. No matter, here's where I get my title from, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, we don't deserve God's grace. God's grace is a gift that's unmerited, that's we don't earn. His undeserved kindness declares that we are righteous. That's how we're made right, by this grace of God through the faith in Christ. We did this, he did this through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus, when he freed us from the penalty of our sins, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. There was a woman who went to the doctor, and both of her ears were burnt, really bad burns on her ears. And the doctor said, in all my years of practice, I've never seen anything like this. How in the world did you burn your ears? And the woman said, well, I was ironing, and while I was ironing, I was watching the television. And the phone rang, and I answered the iron instead of the phone. And the doctor said, oh my goodness, that's horrible. He said, but how did you burn the other ear? She said, will you believe it? The idiot called me back. I think you might know Greg Laurie. Everyone know Greg Laurie? Yeah. Pastors in a horrible place, Southern California. And suffering for Jesus out there in Southern California. He was here a few years ago to do an evangelistic crusade out at Jones Beach. But anyhow, he wrote this, and it reminded me of something like this woman in my joke. He said, it seems to me, this is a quote from Greg Laurie, it seems to me, some people in the church today are preoccupied. In many ways, we have lost our focus and have missed what our priorities should be. I think, he says, that we have forgotten what our real message is. Is our primary message that we are against homosexuality or we are against abortion? No, our primary message should not be negative, but positive. It is the story of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. He says, my fear is that more people know what we Christians are against than what we're for. Do they know what we believe? Do they know what we think about Jesus Christ? End of quote. We have a positive message that is for all people. Last week, we looked at how Paul showed us the holy judge. God is a holy judge. And now he shows us God's love. And in these verses that I read for you this morning, we see both the guilt of all and the grace to all. Because we're all different. Everybody is different. We're different in many different ways as well. We have different characteristics. We have different temperaments. We have different dispositions. We have different personalities. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are pessimists. Some of us are optimists. Some of us like to joke around and be silly, and some of us are more serious. Some of us like to be perfect and have everything neat and in order, and some of us, that doesn't really matter much. Some of us are intellectuals, and some of us not so much. We're all different. Some of us are... some people are harder to get close to, harder to get to know, harder to kind of warm up to. Then there's other people you can warm up to them real easy. There's people that are mean-spirited, you know, and kind of almost criminal. And then there's other people that are very ethical, moral people, and nice people, and kind people. There's people who are affluent, and there's people who are poor or middle class. There are people who are kind of, you know, uppity, and then there's people that are just down to earth. They're all different. Everybody's different. And it's amazing how you could see that in your children. Isn't that amazing how you could, even in early age, you could tell already in your early age of your children what how they're going to be. If they're going to be tender and passionate, or if they're going to be rebellious and strong-willed. You can tell that in a little child. And isn't it amazing? I mean, you know, you have children and they're brought up in the same home, brought up in the same household, brought up by the same parents, brought up by the same rules, and yet so different from each other. Everybody is different. We even come in all kinds of sizes and shapes and colors and attractiveness. We are all different. All people are different. But there is one thing that we all have in common. No matter who we are, there's something that we all have that's the same. And Paul talks about this one thing in this passage that I read today. This one point in which there is no difference, no matter who we are. And it's this. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. Anyone here never sinned? Ever? There's one guy in the back that just sinned, but... Everyone has sinned. I know often we don't want to think that we are so bad, you know, or we like to blame other people. You know, it wasn't my fault. We always have excuses, you know. There's reason why I did what I did. I heard a joke this week that there was a man who went to court. He had gotten a parking ticket. And he said to the judge, "Your Honor, there was a uniformed policeman that told me it was okay to park in that spot." And the judge said, "A policeman told you you could park in that spot?" He said, "Yes, Your Honor." He said, "Let me ask you something. If you were to see that policeman again, would you recognize him?" And the man said, "I certainly would." And the judge said, "Good. The next time you see him, tell him he owes you $157. Next. No one is righteous. Everyone does something wrong. We break laws. We do things we know God doesn't want us to do. We do things we know that we shouldn't do. We all do things wrong. Everyone falls short of keeping the law. Or everyone falls short, as Paul said it in the version that I read, falls short of God's glorious standard. God has a standard by which he tells us to live by. And everyone falls short of that standard. No one ever, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, has been able to live by that standard. All that standard does is show us the things that we do wrong. When we do wrong, we see by that standard why they're wrong, because God said that they're wrong. And so all of us, no matter who we are, if we're going to be right with God, there's only one way that we could do that. God has made a way, and that's the only way. God says, here's the standard, keep it. If you can't keep it, then you can be condemned, but God made a way. And everybody needs this same message. So we see today the guilt of all, but also the grace for all. So let's look at this for a second, this verse, these verses that I read. And the first thing is this, that no matter who we are, there is one way of salvation and only one. And whatever our differences are, no matter who we are, there is no difference about this one matter. If we're going to be saved at all, we can only be saved one way. And today, whether I'm preaching at a church, or if I was preaching to a number of dignitaries in some grand ballroom someplace, some big expensive hotel with all these important people in it, or if I was preaching in a prison, my message would be the same. And whoever you speak to at your barbecues today, or wherever you are gathered, wherever you go, whether it's at your job, whether it's at your school, whether it's in your house, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever you are and whoever you're talking with, you have just one message to present. The message of salvation is one. And here's what Paul says it is in the beginning of verse 22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. One message. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can have eternal life. No one can be right with God. No one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way, Jesus said. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. One message. Jesus himself said in Mark 16, 16, everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And so you don't have to be puzzled as to what message to present to whom. Whether the person is religious or irreligious. Whether the person is an insider or an outsider. Whether a person is uncivilized, uncouth, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. There's one message, no matter who you are. And I can kind of sum it up in two verses from John, one from his epistle and one from his gospel. God loves us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And so no matter who you are, there's one message of salvation. And not only is there no different message, just one. No matter who you are, there is also no different as to the person's need for this message. Again, Romans 22 says that we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And it says, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. Why? Verse 23, for everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glorious standard. There is no difference as to the person's need for this message, because everyone has sinned. So there's no difference to who we are. Now, I know it seems like some people are more moral than others. You know, some people seem like they are more upright and ethical than others. But they are just as much in need of this message of Christ as the immoral, unethical, mean-spirited person. This message came, and Jesus came, and this message came to deal with sin. And if a person has but one sin, if in all your life you committed only one sin, you would have to get rid of that one sin. And there's no way to get rid of that one sin apart from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But of course, no one has merely one sin, except for the guy in the back there. Because all of us have many sins. Now, you may not feel like your sins are as bad as someone else's sins. You know, you might say, hey, you know, I'm not that bad of a guy. I mean, you know, I haven't killed anybody, you know. Maybe I felt like killing somebody, but I never actually killed them. You know, there's people who are worse than me. I've done some bad things. I've never been in prison, you know. I don't know how you think. You could always find someone, I guess, that's worse than you. If you try hard enough. So we may not think that our sins are as bad as others. It's also true that our sins aren't equally as clear as other people's sins. We have secret sins. Sometimes we look pretty good on the outside, but people don't know secretly what's going on in my heart or things that I do that you don't know about. So we have secret sins. Of course, though they might be secret from you, they're not secret from God, right? I mean, God sees everything. God sees everything. And the thing is that even the secrecy of our sin doesn't make them less sinful in God's sight. And there are no secret sins. So whether your sin is open or hidden, whether your sin is more or less than it is of other people, everyone needs the atoning sacrifice of Christ to remove it. Because we all have a heart problem. Everyone has a heart problem. We have a sinful nature. Our tendency is to do the wrong thing. So much easier to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing. At least I've always found that. Because we have a tendency to do what's wrong. There's a heart problem. Now, I mean, we've already admitted that maybe some people are better than others. But none are without sin, no matter who you are. Everyone has sinned. And no one can make their own heart clean. Impossible. Today, with plastic surgery and prosthetics, we can change all kinds of parts of our body, right? We can change our body. But it's clear that it's impossible to change our heart. Can't be done. And though each heart needs this vital change, we can't do it except if Christ makes it new. He's the only one who can change the heart. It requires the work of the Spirit of God. And just as it's possible for the honest person, as well as the dishonest thief, to have a new heart, it's just as impossible for either of them to do it without the Spirit of God. It's beyond human power. Each of us, the same, needs the Spirit of God. Only God can change the heart by faith in Christ. And all of us, at this very moment, stand either condemned before God or wrapped in this glorious righteousness of Jesus Christ. The need is the same for every individual in the entire world. No matter how much you might elevate someone in this world, in your own estimation, you know, sometimes we think people are, you know, there's the music pop star and there's the movie star. It doesn't matter if you're the president. Everyone needs this grace of God just as much as the people who idolize those people. We all need the grace of God. The third thing that I want to share with you today is that what's equally true is that no matter who we are, there's one method to this salvation. The way in which a man or a woman is saved is the same no matter who we are. We may not have exactly the same experience. We may not all feel the same thing. Yet, there was one road, and that road is a narrow road that leads to eternal life. But the method is this. The plan of salvation is something like this. First, we have all sinned. And we have to admit that we have sinned. I don't think that's a hard thing to admit. We have to also admit that we can't earn our salvation. We need God's forgiveness. We need God's righteousness, or else we're lost. So we need to believe. We need to believe that God has put His dear Son, Jesus, in our place as a substitute to take our sin, to take our punishment, the punishment that we deserve. We have to believe that Jesus was sacrificed and died for my sin. And He was raised from the dead for my sin, to forgive me, to give me eternal life. And then you must ask Jesus to be your Savior. Ask Him. Forgive me for this. I know I've done wrong. Forgive me for what I've done wrong. Come into my life. And if you will do that, you will be saved. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ will come to live in you. There's a quote that I came by this week says this. Christ was uncrowned, or Christ uncrowned Himself to crown us. And He put off His robes to put on our rags. He came down from heaven to keep us out of hell. He fasted 40 days that He might feast us to all eternity. He came from heaven to earth that we might be sent, that He might send us from earth to heaven. He's our sacrifice. He's our substitute. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, the one person who never sinned, He made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And there has never been a person who has been sincere about asking Jesus into their life and to change them, that this has failed. And it never will, no matter who you are. The God of love reaches out with His arms open to sinful people to give them hope, and we will accept Him and find salvation. So don't be fooled. I know, you know, you may think that you've been a Christian for a long time. You can't be born into Christianity. You can't be a Christian because you were born to Christian parents. Just as you can't be a vegetarian because your parents are vegetarian. They might influence you, but you still have to make a decision if you want to eat meat or not. I would suggest eating meat once in a while. My opinion. Or take some iron pills or something. But coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like if this afternoon you decided to visit a mosque, that wouldn't make you a Muslim. Or if this afternoon you decide to go to McDonald's, that's not going to make you a hamburger. You're not a Christian because you sit in a church. Jesus said this, I tell you the truth. This is John 3:3. I tell you the truth. Jesus always does. I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, unless you are born from above, unless you have this spiritual experience, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That was a very important verse for me when I came to the Lord, because I thought, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I'll probably go to heaven. Then I read, unless you're born again. I said, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't have that. I would find out what that is, because it says if I don't have that, I'm not going to see the kingdom of God. And so you may be in churches for years. You know, don't take your Christianity for granted. You're not saved by religion. You're not saved by your good works. You're not saved by doing good things. Because he falls short of all that. You can't keep that perfectly. So put aside pride and bow before Christ, the spiritual birth. Now, there might be the opposite thing. Some people think that, you know, I'm too great a sinner to ever be saved. There's no way that God could forgive me ever for the things that I've done wrong. My heart is too wicked. I'm above any kind of remedy that anyone, even God, could offer. Simply just isn't true. Perhaps you have lower self-esteem and you say, no one else has ever accepted me. Why would God? Maybe you think I'm different than everybody else. Other people can be saved. No way I can be saved. This ain't going to happen. Maybe your age gets in the way. You think, you know, hey, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Except that we're not dogs. Whatever you learn, you can unlearn. And by the grace and power of God, you can learn new things to replace those old things. Everyone can. And there may be other reasons why you think you can't come to Christ. Or maybe you have reasons why you don't witness to certain people about Christ. Hasn't it already been made clear? Hasn't Paul already made it clear? Romans 3:22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. Doesn't it feel good to be included? A lot of times you aren't included. I couldn't go to certain universities because I wasn't smart enough. I couldn't play in certain sports because I wasn't good enough. I couldn't be in business because I just wasn't qualified enough. I even couldn't go, unfortunately, to some churches because I just wasn't good enough. But through Christ, you will never be excluded. Everyone is included. Listen, David was an adulterer. Paul murdered Christians. Peter, he was a liar. They and others hit rock bottom. But when it comes to God's love, they were included. And so will you be included. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. You can't keep the law. You can't be like God. We all fall short. But whoever of any of those people, all have fallen into sin, but any of those people who have, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall find eternal life. There's one salvation. There's one remedy. There's one physician that can heal us, and that is Jesus. And there's, you know, aren't you glad that, you know, there's one message for everybody? It's not like, oh, you're a number one person, you need my number one message. Oh, you're a number two person, you need the message number two. Or you're a number 13 person, you need that message. There's one message. We've all sinned, and we can be made right with God. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. The guilt of all, the grace for all. I know people today, you know, they consider many different saviors. They even think they're their own savior. But isn't it great mercy that there's one savior, that there's one message, that there's one name by which we can be saved? Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. We are made right with God through faith in Christ. And so we have a positive message. I remember someone saying one time, why don't we stop cursing the darkness and start being a light? We have a positive message. I wanted to close by reading from Romans chapter 4, because salvation is a gift. This is what we've been talking about. I just wanted to read this section of Scripture to you. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something that they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God, who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who declare righteousness without working for it. If anyone knew about that, it was David. So here's what David wrote about it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. God will count us righteous if we believe in Him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He has handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Amen. So we all have this in common. We're all sinners. We also have this in common. Jesus can save us, no matter who we are. Let's just take a moment to pray, and then we'll go downstairs and celebrate Pastor Nick's birthday together. Let's pray. How about if I give you a couple of moments just to pray by yourself? If there's anything that you need to let God speak more deeply to you about or more clearly to you about, or whatever God wants to do, let's just take a moment to allow that to happen, and then I'll close in prayer in just a moment. You would please stand with me as I close in prayer today. Perhaps there is someone here today who knows that God is speaking to them. No matter how adequately or inadequately I have shared this message with you today, God is letting you know that this message is for you. God is saying to you today, I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to have a closer relationship with you. I want you to have life with me forever, starting this moment, lasting for eternity. And if you would just say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Be my Savior. Come into my life. And you are sincere. He will not fail to come into your life. And so, if there is someone here who's thinking that today, I'd like to pray for you. And if everyone else would just kind of be patient as I pray. Lord Jesus, I know I haven't lived the way that you want me to live. If you want me to be like you, if you want me to keep all your commandments, I know that I have fallen short. And I'm concerned that having sinned and not having a relationship with you, what's going to happen to me if I was to die? And so, Lord, I want to ask you today to forgive me and to come into my life. Be my Savior. And I believe that right now you are forgiving me. You have put your Spirit in me. and I now have eternal life. And if that prayer or something like that prayer is something that speaks to your heart today, and you want to discuss this further or need more help or need whatever you need, you just make your way to the front and speak to either me or Pastor Nick or to Pastor John. We'd be glad to speak to you and to help you in any way we can. Lord, we want to thank you for this time together today. We want to thank you, Lord, for meeting with us and speaking to us and being our God, a great God, a good God. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this week. I pray that you would bless our times with family and friends during this Memorial Day weekend, Lord. We pray your blessing upon Pastor Nick, Lord, that you would just grant him just a touch of your presence, of your spirit all year long, not just during his birthday, but all year long, and that you would bless him, Lord. We pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon all of your people, all those who are here, every family that's represented here, and that we would just walk with you today and this week and be a blessing to others as well. We love you, Lord. Bless our fellowship together downstairs. In Jesus we pray, in your name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.